Hello everyone, welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by His Spirit. He's alive, He's returning soon, and those who love Him will see Him as He is. This is the day we need to be looking for His great return. The Lord is doing wonderful things in the earth among His people who love Him. Like we said in previous broadcasts, the real revival is where people fall in love with God. They get saved and they stay in love with God. Stay in love with God. And they live the character of God's word. And they don't let the world sidetrack them. And as we grow from glory to glory, so they continually grow from glory to glory. They continue to seek God out. To seek to do His will. To learn who He is. And operate according to His word. They don't let things slide, but they go forward. That's the real revival. And the Lord told me that there would be such a revival that would change the economy. And that means a lot of people are going to be doing exactly those things. And the Holy Spirit is behind it. He knows how to get the word to those who will appreciate it. And I thank Him for it. We live in a time where everything's under attack. The things of God, they are under attack. And we have to understand that Satan hates the word of God, and so does his people. Now, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, you know, he pointed something out that, you know, he described these days. From way back then, he described these days. So did Peter, so did Paul, so did Jude. They described the days we're living in. And it's because of false teachers. Now, Paul said that there would be false teachers. And they come on the scene and they've done a lot of damage. And some of the traditions that we have accepted, it stems from those false teachers. And it's a mindset is hard to get rid of. It's not as easy it's not as easy to depart from the wrong mindset as it would seem to be. Now, some people can tell something's not right and they steer away because they don't want to be seduced by it. I've seen people do that. When churches have doctrines that don't make sense, intelligent people steer away from those kind of churches. You know, like the churches that handle snakes or have the very strict dress code for women or not going to church on Saturday or, you know, on Sunday or, and going on Saturday. You know, things like that. People steer away from it because they know that once people become religious, they can be dedicated and they change. They see their friends change. Well, false doctrine is not right and it's detectable. But if you accept it, it's hard to get out of it. So the easiest way to steer clear of it is to love God's word, the root of God's word. And you and the Holy Spirit can guide you in the right path. And He can show you the lies for what they are and the truth of God's word for what they are. And among the, tares are sown among the wheat. So, false doctrine is sown among good doctrine because the tares brought it in. And we're going to show how that mindset works. This is 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3. I said 3, verse 4, but it's 4, verse 3. This is Paul talking to Timothy. He said, I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who should judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. He said, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Now he said rebuke because people are wrong and they think they're right. And they have to be rebuked. And it take and sometimes by leadership. If a person can tell that the doctrine is wrong and he's not even a preacher yet, or he just been called to preach, older preachers are going to make him look bad. They can tangle the word around, and in the eyes of the people, they can persuade people against him. And it happens. It happened to me early on. But Timothy was a preacher that was sanctioned by Paul. He was anointed by God, and people knew him. Paul said, in any case, this is what you have to do, whether people will receive it or not. This is still our duty. He said, preach the word, be instant, in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Preach it, be instant, be ready, because sometimes things will come upon you and you have to be ready then. A crowd may come and want to understand something. You have to be ready then. You may hear a liar persuading God's hearers, and you have to be ready then. Preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. It takes longsuffering because you have to be patient with people. God teaches us at our pace. We teach others at their pace. And it takes time for the veil to fall. In verse 3, he said, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And this is the damage that's done by those who are false prophets, false teachers, false brethren, false apostles. This is what they do. They do damage. They don't just they throw a brick and run. And it's bad. It's not good. This is what Korah did against Moses. He spoke against Moses. He built up the people, said all of them are holy, and they were not all holy. And he persuaded the crowd. And it was looking like Moses was the bad guy. Brought him out there to do nothing, to be their leader. He said, there's no milk and honey here. They didn't get to the promised land yet. And he did all that gainsaying, and he was persuading everybody systematically, because God was going to destroy all of them. And Moses, the priest that he was, he and Aaron interceded. And then the people who Korah and the people who were behind him the most, they died. But the people that were being persuaded, they saw what happened to them, and God was able to rescue them. But Korah's speech was infiltrating everybody. Everybody. That's why Timothy said the day will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Now, I'm going to tell you something about the work of God. God is looking for, he deals with the heart. He's looking for people that love him in the heart. Some people have no love for sound doctrine. I'm sorry. Now, as you go forward in the Lord and the Lord moving your ministry, if it ever gets to the point where it looks big, where a lot of people are coming, this is what will happen. Remember, sincerity attracts sincerity. The most sincere people will come, and they'll be enthused, and they'll enjoy the word of God. They will operate according to the doctrine of God. They will embrace it. They will go forward. They won't be persuaded against it. And once it looks like a movement, there are people like Simon the sorcerer. When people started receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost, see, he used to bewitch people in Acts. I think it's Acts chapter 8. And he saw he believed on Jesus too, see. And then when Peter came and baptized him in the Holy Spirit, he wanted to buy the Holy Spirit. And he said that your money will perish with you. And he asked Peter to pray that it won't. He said, Peter could tell he was in the gall of bitterness. Daniel said that the wicked will not understand, and they will do wickedly. Now, people will come when they see a crowd. That doesn't mean that they love the doctrine of God. That doesn't mean that they have the love of God in them at all. People want to be a part of something. They may have a love for God, but what drives them is preeminence. He didn't repent from his wickedness. Simon didn't. He wanted to have power over the people, like the Nicolaitans. These are dangerous folks. And if you don't understand how they operate, you won't be able to tell them from any other brother that truly loves God. There are false brethren out there. There are false preachers, false apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. I'm sorry. But they're out there. Now, those who love the sincere milk of God's word, they're coming and they're going to be dedicated. They are the real revival. They are the sons of God because they obey the Holy Spirit. They don't quench the Spirit. When people keep quenching the Spirit, I wonder about them. Why would they want to do something like that? Why don't they learn to trust the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit. The Spirit of the Holy Spirit. Why won't people trust the Holy Spirit? There's nothing out there in that world that can compare to his love and his guidance and his wisdom. Why would anybody quench the Holy Spirit? There's no wisdom or knowledge or understanding against God. He can't lead you wrong, and he don't follow lies with signs and wonders. He don't sanction error. He sanctions the love of God. And the backbone of the church, the people of God, they love God and they don't deviate. And they don't act like Simon the sorcerer and Corey the false prophet. And they don't act like false brother. And they embrace the doctrine of God. They follow the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can rest on them because they will not quench the Holy Spirit. And sometimes because people have received false information, they may freeze. They may not go forward when they should. Now, it happened to me too. Because I was taught things that was wrong. That were things that I didn't understand yet. And every time the Holy Spirit had me do something new, I put the brakes on. I had to learn not to do that. I had to learn to flow with him. So I said, there's got to be a remedy. I got to change this. I said, this can be destructive. The Lord may need me one day and I might freeze. I might not go forward in time. In time. You have to jump on things sometimes, just like he said, be instant. Now, my remedy is I will do all that's in his heart. So doing that way, what's in God's heart becomes more passionate to me, more noticeable. The voice of God is louder then. When I'm turning my heart. See, you turn your heart with your tongue. If you can say it, you can do it. I'm conditioning my heart to be attracted to the sincerest voice of God, to follow God sincerely, to speak his word, to speak his mind, to do what's in his heart. And that way, it becomes easy for me to put my heart last and make adjustments where I need them. See, we all need adjustments sometimes. And we have to do that. The world loves the world. And the world they will love. At the end of the day, they're going to flock together. They're going to end up in the world. The wicked will do wickedly and they will not understand. So if they never understand, they're going back to the world. The seeds of rebellion are already started in them and they won't repent from it. Now, they're not without warning because the Lord, he show people things. He preachers tell people not to commit adultery, fornication, and they shack up anyway and still go to church. Their heart gets hard as a brick. I just use that for an example, but they do other things that's even worse. And they get to the point that they won't endure sound doctrine. They love their pleasures more than the will of God. And the devil seduce them and they end up in hell. So these are things we have to understand. And He said, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things. We need to be watching, so we won't trust the wrong people, so that we can help the right people. But watch thou in all things. Endure afflictions, because they're not going to like what you're doing. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of that ministry. And this is important. Because people, that you know, they will rebel. They will buck the system. They don't want God's perfection. They're not out to God's love. And if they would change, God would help them. If they would repent, God could bless them. But the Holy Spirit is wise. And if we can follow Him, we can understand what's going on with people. And we can preach beyond them and prepare people against what's coming. If you know that there are those who are attracted to wrong doctrine, you can show people that the doctrine is wrong before they enter into it. Remember, the things of Satan always look good. They always look good. But then it's detectable that it's wrong to those that love God. Even sinners that love what's right can tell that some of the doctrines that people have are wrong. Because I've seen people avoid things, even though they didn't get saved, or even though they didn't act like they were saved. Some things they wouldn't believe. And right is right and wrong is, see, the harvest, they'll be attracted to the love of God if somebody would tell them. If somebody could reach them. And they can get out of their drama. Now, to some people don't know what sin will do yet. Even though they're old, they don't know how sin will take them for a ride. And they never tried to, they don't know anything about the warfare because they never did anything against hell. You know, their lives, they just tried to live a decent life, and people did things against them, but they kind of stay in the background. They don't stir the pot. But when you start doing the things of God, then here comes Satan. So that's why it's important to obey God's word. Once people get saved, see, I didn't know much about the warfare either when I was 19. I knew the devil was out there doing stuff. And, you know, in my mind, it was when somebody killed somebody, that was Satan doing that. Or when, I didn't know about how he set up nations to fail. I didn't know how he stir up divisions among people. That's Satan too. I didn't know that he tried to get Christians corrupted so that they don't do their job. I didn't know that he persuade people against God. I didn't know all those things. But once I became once I got saved, Brother Chris Lucas said, now that you're on God's side, Satan's going to try to get you back. He's going to try to come at you to get you angry. He's going to try to do things that people may steal from you. Women may flirt. All kind of things. He listed things that Satan would do. So when it happened, I knew what it was. And I said, wow. I saw it for what it was, and I laughed at it. I said, Satan, I ain't never going back to that nasty kingdom you hold. I love God's word. And He's my Savior, not you. And so I stood against it because somebody told me what to expect. We got to do the same for those that don't know yet. They may be very wise in other things. They may be prominent businessmen. But there's nothing in this earth that can help them understand God like the Word of God. And people, and they're not reading it, they just don't know. So if we don't do our job, then they can't do theirs. And they would, in the right condition, they'll believe. And they'll receive from the Lord. And they'll learn His ways. And they'll be able to see and judge. See, it wasn't just the enemy. I read about what happened to Jesus, and then it started happening to me. And then when I got called to the ministry, it just multiplied. And I said, man, this is... Because I started doing the things of God, and that troubled the waters of the world. They didn't like it. And Satan did his little campaign, and I put my foot on his neck. In the name of Jesus. Now, that's what we got to do. We got to help people understand and know God. Now, I'm out of time. The Lord is not here. Continue to mightily move in your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you. And Jesus is our Lord.